If you would, let's be turning to Mark 4. Mark 4. Mark 4, and I'm just going to read one verse, verse 41. If any of you heard Mike Walker's message up at Katy Baptist, I think it was called Peace or Peace Be Still or something like that. He did that message, and this passage just kind of stuck out at me. So Mark 4, verse 41. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, "What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" We have here an account where Christ was on this ship, and the ship was full of water, it says. As far as the men who were on this ship were concerned, it was going down and they could do nothing to stop it. This great storm, this great trial brought them to search out Christ for help. Christ was sleeping, even while the ship was full of water, because it says they awake him. They wondered and even asked him if he cared whether they perished or not. We then see right here that he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, "Peace, be still." When he did this, the wind stopped and the sea was still. It says here that there was a great calm. I imagine that the sea was like a sea of glass. It was so calm. The word for great there, one of the meanings is loud. For that word, the silence was so great you could hear it, so to speak. Once Christ spoke these words, I imagine that these men were very scared or frightened when these waves were crashing into the ship. But after the sea and the wind were calmed by Christ's words, what does it say of them? They feared exceedingly. Exactly. What transpired caused them to be fearful? Not of the wind or the water, but of this one who controlled and calmed them both by the word of his mouth.
Yes.
It says that they said amongst themselves, as I'm sure they were afraid to say this to Christ, but they said, and this is my title, "What manner of man is this?" We first must be sure to note that there is one man they were referring to. And that was the man, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It is what this man did that caused them to fear exceedingly. He controlled inanimate objects or things. Just think of this. If he calmed the storm, it says here that he did, it was he that brought on the storm to begin with, because he controls all things.
Amen.
I have nothing new this morning. I want to talk about the sovereignty of God. So that's my point this morning. I'm going to break it down into these things. Sovereign over flora and fauna. Sovereign over happenings. I don't know a better word other than say that. Sovereign over people. And sovereign in salvation. Number one, sovereign over flora and fauna. Jesus Christ always does everything on purpose. There is not one thing about this earth, about the people on this earth, and about the things that happen on this earth that will not be to his praise. If there is anything that Jesus Christ comes to, that is, not to serve him, he will destroy. I know I'm on flora and fauna, but we know that Jesus Christ is not doing things, or things are not happening as some kind of accident. All things happen on purpose as it is his purpose.
Amen. Yes, sir.
There are those who are before prepared unto glory. Everyone else is reprobate. God did not have to do anything to cause them to be reprobate. They are fitted to destruction. There is a scripture that makes this clear, at least in my mind. John 3:18 says, "He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." If you believe not, then you are condemned already. But there are even those flora and fauna If they are not there to glorify and serve Jesus Christ, he destroys even inanimate objects. Matthew 21:19, we read, "And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, Let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And presently the fig tree withered away." He knew it would be this way. But Jesus Christ, God Almighty, is revealing to us that he is sovereign over all things. Even the things we might consider to be small, that we do not even think about from day to day. He will show us that he is in absolute control. God controls his creation. That is his creation of man, but it also means his creation of this big ball we live on with the trees and the flowers, the rocks and the hills. Ezekiel 17:24 says, "All the trees of the field shall know that I, the Lord, have brought down the high tree, have exalted the low tree, have dried up the green tree, and have made the dry tree to flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken it and have done it."
Amen.
I know this can also be a type, but trees this is talking about. But listen to this in Jeremiah 32:17. "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee."
Amen.
He has made all things, and they are all made by him and for him.
Yes.
Nothing is made without him. So everything is made by him, and since that is the case, he controls all things that happen, since he controls even the wind and the sea. So what do we have next? Number two, sovereign over happenings. Isaiah 45:7-9, we read, "I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioneth it, What makest thou? Or thy work? He hath no hands." God causes all things that happen to happen. If it happens, it is because God has decreed it from before the foundation of the world. You hear a lot of folks talking about God's plan. I don't want to be critical here, but God does not plan. He knows all. He has purposed everything from the beginning. He needed no counsel to do so, and he will not need any counsel to continue it. I know this poses this as a question in that passage. Shall the clay say to him that fashioneth it, What makest thou? But people do that all the time. But cry out as you might, Why hast thou made me thus? You will get no answer from God. God does not answer to anyone. Then it says, "Or thy works, he hath no hands." I know most here who have heard this, those that say, "God has no hands but your hands, and God has no feet but your feet." Lie.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ has hands, and Jesus Christ has feet.
Amen.
He created all things, and he created them all to his honor and glory. Lamentations 3:37 says, "Who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass, when the Lord commandeth it not?" This reminds me of those who like to say, God has a code in the Bible, we just need to figure it out. God does not speak in code, he speaks in truth, because he is the truth. It will only come to pass if he commands it. Isaiah 46:9-10 we read, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure."
Amen.
Sounds to me like God is in control of things that happen. But here one more, Amos 3:6. Shall a trumpet be blown in the city, and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city, and the Lord hath not done it? He controls all happenings. This involves all flora and fauna and all animals, but it also includes all men and women. So he is sovereign over people. Number three, sovereign over people. Does God control people? Did he create man? Proverbs 21:1 says, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will." As has been said before, if he can control the heart of a king, and that is not an if of possibility, but an if of confirmation, he controls the king's heart because he says he does in his word. But he controls all those who are under the king as well. All that man does will be to the praise of God. If not, it will not happen. Psalm 76:10 says, "Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. The remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain." God will not have anything that is not done to his praise for his use. Just like the fig tree, he will prevent anything that does not praise him from being. In fact, he has already done this as it was purposed from the foundation of the world. He controls the goings-on in the world, even those who rule over us in this world. They will all do whatsoever he has been pleased to have done. Colossians 1:16-17 we read, "For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." He holds all things together, and they consist, that is, they are put together by Jesus Christ. Why are things the way they are? Because he has purposed it from before the foundation of the world. Does that mean that everything man does is okay? Absolutely not. We have several scriptures that testify to this. Genesis 50:20. This is familiar. This is Joseph talking to his brothers. "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive." There was much evil that man has done. There is much evil that man has done that God uses in the fulfilling of his will, and he means it for good to those that love him. Even the evil done by those who are his, he has purposed it for what? To save much people alive. There was one event that is the ultimate showing of God's sovereign love towards those who were his enemies. What about this ultimate, as I call it? Because everything God does works together for good to them that love God. But the scripture we read of the purpose and will of God, that work that God performed, that even though men meant it evil against God, he used it to save much people alive. And here it is. Acts 4:26-28. "The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done."
Amen.
People joined together. They did this against God. They meant evil of it. But thank God, in his counsel, he meant it for good. Good it was for some. God's ways and his thoughts are high above man's ways and thoughts. Man thinks he is in some way doing God a favor, when in fact he is, as he is born in Adam, fights against God and his Christ. Proverbs 19:21 says, "There are many devices in a man's heart, Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. No matter what man does and what man intends by his doings, God has been pleased to bring forth good for his people. God does all things right, even when man does evil. God is not thwarted by man's unbelief. That unbelief that is an active engagement by man to go against what God says. Man commits trespass. He actively goes against what God says to do or to not do. But God be thanked. He is sovereign in all things. He has been pleased to do all things to his honor and glory. All things that take place have been ordained of God to happen. All these things that happen are to save people for his name's sake. God is sovereign in salvation. It is the whole purpose for the existence of all things. He was pleased to save a people. In fact, his name indicates that he came to save a people. Scripture says, "Call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin." So God is sovereign in salvation. Number four. If you do not believe God has done all things, including saving a people for his name, if you believe that man has some part in the salvation of his soul, if you believe that man in some way helps God out to accomplish salvation or anything else, at the very least, God has not revealed himself to you yet. At worst, you are reprobate. What do we see in Scripture concerning the sovereignty of God in the salvation of his people? Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 5, we read, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him," that is Christ, "before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will."
Amen.
God was pleased to reserve, to call out, to choose a people for his name from before the foundation of the world. Why was he pleased to do this? For his honor and glory.
Yes.
He wanted to honor and glorify himself. He did all the work, and he does all the work. But he had to satisfy his own justice. He that is absolutely sovereign, holy, he stands apart from anyone or anything. And he is just. He has and does all things right. But we who are born from Adam, those chosen by him, have offended this almighty sovereign God. He has no unjust weights and balances. So sin must be punished. He did, and he did this in his Son, Jesus Christ,
yes,
the God-man. God himself had to take on that iniquity that we produced. God did not perform the iniquity, we did. But for those enemies against him, he paid the price to set them free from that penalty. What does he tell us in Isaiah 25, 8 and 9? "He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, Lo, this is our God, we have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord, we have waited for him, we will be glad and rejoice in his salvation." He is sovereign in salvation.
Amen.
Had he not been pleased, had he not willed to save some, then all the world would be damned. His holy law says that all are guilty before him. But God be thanked, he saved some. Scripture is quite clear. There is but one who has control over all things. That is God, and we see him in the man, Christ Jesus the Lord. All things were made by him and for him, and by him all things consist. He controls the winds and the sea, the rain and the snow, the trees and the flowers, the birds and the lions. He controls kings and the king's subjects. He controls the proud, and he controls them who have been humbled. He controls who is saved, that salvation being in him and all because of him. He controls all those who do not believe him. There are none that would seek him had he not caused them to seek him. Now back to our text and the sovereignty that he possesses. Jesus Christ is in control of all things that we go through. In fact, it has been said before here, and others have said it, God has promised that we will go through tribulations. This is his sovereign control to make, to cause his people to wait on him. He is in control of all things. If you would, turn with me to Psalm 148. Psalm 148. Psalm 148, and I want to read 7 through 14. Psalm 148, verse 7. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapors, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalteth the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord.
Amen.
The scripture is clear. The God of Scripture, the God I serve, the God you serve, is sovereign over all things. He deserves honor and glory because he is the Creator. Revelations 4:11 says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. God is in control of all things. If we are to pass through tribulation, then it will be him that does it. We see this when we read of the three Hebrew men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We are going to go through whatever trial he wants us to go through, and if we are consumed, then it will be our great God that consumes us. If we are spared, it will be our God that spares us. Either way, by his grace, we will stick with what God of the God of heaven and earth, by his grace, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God Jesus Christ. Now, as it pertains to tribulation, I want to go through briefly some accounts, including our text, to see the sovereign God doing his will, and I just mentioned one to you. I want to look at these three Hebrew men who Nebuchadnezzar would send to a fiery furnace. So if you would, turn with me to Daniel 3. Daniel 3. Daniel 3, verses 1 through 18. Try to read it fast so I don't take up too much time here. Okay, 1 through 18. Daniel 3, verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 80 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces, to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, and captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down in worship shall the same hour be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore at that time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image, and whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? And here it is. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Nebuchadnezzar had set up this law, and the law was set. All the people in the kingdom would be required to do exactly as that law had said. But there is one who is greater. There is one who has glory that excelleth far more than the glorious law set forth by this king. This one who is exceeding in glory would be the one who in the fire of judgment would save those for whom the fire was meant to consume. They would escape without a hair being singed. He controlled the fire so that it did not hurt these men in any way. The flames nor the heat destroyed them because of him, while others it slew. He gave them this faith to believe when they were literally about to be put to death by a man who was proud. Can this happen today? It most certainly can. God give me grace to not bow down to man's decree, which gives glory to man and not the Creator of all things. Whether he saves us alive in the trial or not. Here in Daniel, these men knew this was coming, and God gave them grace to stand for him. But we also see from our text that he also causes these things to come upon us that we might look to him, search him out, and ask him for help in the midst of the storm. Things happen to us that we are not expecting, but it is he that controls this as well. This passage kind of reminds us, me as me and Paula were coming back, we went through, I think it was Kansas City I was telling you all, they had a tornado warning and it was raining. And of course we were on the interstate and people were slowing down to like 10 miles an hour because it was flooding. But we were going through and then you could feel the wind blowing. So you're kind of looking around, you know, is that storm going to hit us, you know? And, you know, what do we do? We look to God because we didn't know whether to pull off or keep going. Didn't know what the best was. But you just have to trust God. Because he controls it all. And whether that storm were to have killed us or not. He will cause us to go through a storm. And as we are trusting in ourselves, we will see the end of life. He, with these storms, causes us to seek him out. Because without him, we can do nothing. He will cry out and say, Peace, be still. In seeing him in the manner of man he is, will cause us to fear him. But it will also allow us to see that it is this manner of man that can quiet any storm that we might encounter. Trust in Jesus Christ. It is He who is this manner of man, who can control all things. If you are in Him, then any storm coming your way is a blessing, although it might not seem to be so at first. But those things that happen that cause us to cling to Him, to search Him out, are a blessing, because it is a blessing to see this manner of man, Jesus Christ the Lord, the Sovereign of all things. Amen. Dear Lord God, thank You for allowing us to be here today. Cause us, dear Lord, to trust You, because there is no other that we can trust in. We cannot even trust in ourselves and each other, because we're broken sticks. Cause us to look to You, dear Lord, and praise Your name. Be with Walter as he comes to speak, dear Lord, and allow him to speak boldly Your truth and of Your Son. Dear Lord, be with those. We have a few amongst us that are going through some trials, some physical trials of Yours, dear Lord. Help them through that, and help us to help them, dear Lord. All these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.